It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this fifth day of March 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round. And where if you do come over to HeadOn.live and pop and click on chat room and pop into the aforementioned merry, wacky, zany, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. And that means, in this case, Squeaky and Theo. Hey, fellas. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday here on the Horn, and that means, of course, we will be taking note of the moments in Titanic right-wing intellect, and we have plenty of them. Oh, it's like spring outside. Things are green and blooming, and I'm sneezing, and it was warm, and I'm sneezing my fool head off, and it got hot today. We went from winter to, holy crap, this is nice, almost overnight. So I was excited. I have some happy news. Been waiting a long time to say this. The smoker is assembled. Cynthia and I are now neck and neck in exactly the same place, waiting for an opportunity to burn our respective brand new smokers in. Got it finished today. And, you know, I looked all over the great big humongous carton, the shipping container this thing came in. And you know how usually the instructions are somewhere on the box that will say, to assemble this, you need. Well, this thing should be labeled, because I got the one with the table attached to it, not just the standalone with the two flip-up little, yeah. This one needs to say, to assemble this unit, you will need a Phillips head screwdriver, a crescent wrench, and an octopus. I couldn't have done it without Annette. She's so amazing. And then on top of it all, I found out today that, lo and behold, ribs are on sale at the Wiggle and Pig. And so it appears that that will be the first thing that gets done in the new smoker is ribs. And I am so, so, so excited. That's going to happen this weekend. I'll do a couple or three slabs, and they'll be seasoned up deliciously. And we'll have some here, and I'll take some to Margie, and I'll take some to some friends of mine across the river, and I'll be back in the barbecue game. I've been sidelined for so long. It's well over a year since I did any barbecue. So I've got that going on. And just because I was in a mood, and I found a bargain at the Pig, found a beautiful hunk of bottom round roast. Stop it. And so I am marinating a classic Sauerbraten. I've got all my spices. I've got red wine. I've got red wine vinegar. I've got raisins and prunes and, you know, everything to go in there. I've even got the cookies to crush to sweeten and thicken the Sauerbraten gravy. There's no need to say gravy, but, you know, you get in the habit. So I'm just in kind of a good mood, I guess. What's that, Matt, in San Francisco? Octopuses are not easy to come by. No, they are not. Probably because they're so smart. They'd probably have a much better comprehension of how to put this thing together than I. And, of course, I'm also going to make some poppers, jalapeno poppers. Annette loves crab-stuffed jalapeno poppers, so, yeah. Probably do some of those and some pimento cheese-stuffed ones, and it'll all be yummyful. Can you tell I'm excited? Can you tell I'm happy? Because I am. But the rain comes tomorrow, so I suspect neither Cynthia nor I will burn in our respective brand-new acorns by Char Griller. Unpaid product placement, that. Probably Thursday, and then that gives me Friday to rub and season and then put them in the brine, and then they go on the smoker for about 4 hours on Saturday, and then the happiness happens. I gotta go out and get charcoal, and I have some wonderful grape wood courtesy of our dear friend Kat in Ohio. She shipped to me a while back, and that I've been eagerly awaiting an opportunity to use. And I know all that grape wood's going to be so good on those ribs. And I do it just for, yes, Matt, I do that just for you. Every time you say poppers, I giggle like a naughty fifth grade schoolboy. And again, yeah, because, you know, I'm not above, you know, a cheap little double entendre, just especially to get the program going. Wouldn't jalapeno poppers burn your nose? Amelia said, I don't know why I say that. It just occurred to me. Well, you know, they probably would if you were consuming them with Emilio, Matt, now you get enough for bridge. You people! Good God, we're only 9 minutes into the program, and I've already you peopled the Horn Family Community Congregation. What's this world coming to? Anatole and Irish Dave have wandered into the chat room. Hey guys, welcome. Great to see you. And going back to yesterday's program, Labor Man, Gary, says, Otero County official removed. I was incorrect about the sheriff being removed from office. It was an Otero County commissioner named Coy Griffin, founder of Cowboys for Trump. He appealed the decision, and it was denied. I don't know if any further legal action is still pending. I don't think there is. And it's not outside the realm of the bizarre ruling yesterday by our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. Yeah, see, those had to be so good, Roger. Roger said, I love the poppers that I took up to Chris's for the Super Bowl. They were made with Ali Amarillo peppers. And they would be substantial. I would guess they would be substantially larger than a jalapeno popper, but yeah, that would tasty. And if I do accomplish any or all of this, there will be food porn photos, assuming that Facebook is working. Lee in New York tells me, warm weather. FYI, Saturday in New York City was record-breaking warmth. Old record 65, new record 68. But global warming is not real because of snow in California. Well, and it's also not real, Lee, because
it's a Chinese hoax from China.
Getting ahead of myself, though, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our fifth day of the month subscribers. I can scarcely credit that we're already 5 days into March. Blows my mind. But just the same, thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs, and thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to News Ninja Gene across the pond. And thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Our fundraising goal as it stands is at 475 degrees. That's degrees? Really? I got food on the brain. $475. thank you, Ralphs. Facebook is working now. Facebook and Instagram corkscrewed into the dirt earlier today, causing maggots all over the country to scream, It's a plot to hurt Trump on Super Tuesday. They are the delicatest, most delicate, daintiest, most pathetic gang of whiny-ass crybabies. It reminds me of that meme I saw not too long back that said, Baby elephant weighs in at 250 pounds and is the largest baby land mammal there is, except for a butt hurt Trump supporter. And all God's children said, amen. Flavio says, did you get locked out of Flakebook? Apparently I and thousands of others were. I couldn't log back in. It was saying my password wasn't valid. I went and reset my password. It took me 3 to 4 times before it took. It was the most annoying thing. No, I don't go. I'm a weird. I don't live on Facebook or any other app. I just don't. You know, I'll pop by and see if there's anything going on and move on. But I don't just live there. And I'm not saying you do, Flavio. But I wouldn't have known it. I saw my big sis Terry saying that it was happening to her, and it's like, damn girl, sorry. But I wouldn't have known it had I not seen the news. But the fact that the paranoid minds, bless you, somewhere in the afterlife or wherever, Richard Hofstadter, the paranoid style in maggot politics, just update it from 1962 to today, and nothing changes. So there was that, and it was apparently terribly, terribly traumatic for a lot of the maggots. So, hi, Cynthia. Flake book, that's cute. I call it Zucker book. Cynthia, fuck Amy COVID Barrett. Well, we're out of the gate with an F-bomb, so all is right with the world. She has the fucking nerve, Cynthia says, to tell the liberals on the court to dial it down. Really? After pushing one bullshit ruling after another onto us, taking away our rights and protections, we're supposed to shut up and take it? Fuck you, bitch. Get a fucking clue. Can you tell? I have no respect for the so-called conservatives on the bench. They've done nothing to earn it. Otherwise, great conversation yesterday. I may have to go back and listen to it all over again. And it looks like I may get a chance to burn in that acorn on Thursday. I'm going to plan on it. Oh, girl, do so. Because that's the day I'm looking at burning mine in. And we'll have a, I don't know, bicoastal burn-in. That sounds fun. Cynthia adds, in spite of all the snow in California, I did not have a single night this winter of freezing temperatures. In the past, I always did. I think my coldest overnight this year was around 33 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas I used to get down to 26 to 29. We'll see if next winter I get any freezing temps. It has been a surprisingly mild winter. And let's see, that's with 16 days remaining of the winter. Yeah, knock wood. Here, let me do my head, too, just to make sure. We're nowhere near out of the woods, but it was just so nice to... Oh, so nice to feel the warm sun on my shoulders. Because, I mean, it was... It felt summerish. And so, I'm sure, well... With the coming of warm weather comes mowing season. And so here we are. But it's just nice to have that smoker going. We're about to be going. And I've oiled up my grill grate. And I'm ready for the burn-in. What? Ralphs? Now some people at Democratic Underground are writing that maybe Sonia Sotomayor should retire? What the fuck? Ralphs, tell them to take their meds and go back to bed. The only people on that court who should retire right now are Sammy Bad Breath, Ann's Boy Neil, Fappy Thomas, Beer Boofin' Brat needs to go back to his beer boofin' ways. Old Balls and Strikes. They're all horrible. Although I'm daring to hope that, and I get your point, Cynthia, I'm daring to hope that maybe the three smart ladies on the court are having an impact on the handmaid. Probably not, but a girl can dream. So, where to, what's that, Steve? Yeah, there's the headline I mentioned earlier. The Maggots lost their collective caca. Over the... Freak book being down. It was all on Meta. They were all Meta products. So that means somebody there screwed up. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads were all hit. And more than 300,000 people reported Facebook being down this morning. And the Media Research Center, which is just a right-wing sewer, jumped on X and posted an excrement that said, "Sounds like interference, election interference to us." And another right-wing blatherskate, someone named Rogan O'Handley. Is that a real name? "What a coincidence that Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube are down on Super Tuesday. Practice run for November?" And, of course, not to be left behind, there was the man with the Nixon tattoo on his back, Roger Stone, who jumped on Tripe Social and triped, "Two of the most powerful communication tools for grassroots politics in America suddenly stopped working on Super Tuesday while all of Haley's ads in print, radio, and television remain intact." Anybody want to parse the logic of that? Because I'm a little flummoxed. Did Roger Stone think that TV, radio, and print are connected to the interweb tubes? I I saw Flavio did. I saw what Elie Mystal said, and I saw a whole lot of other hyperventilating yesterday. But you know, the five maggot guys did the things that five maggot guys do. And it was a dumb decision, and maybe someday, you know. Like I said, talking to David yesterday, try to find something a positive spin for it. So, you know, if Ebola was to hit the Supreme Court, we got a 66% chance of a good outcome. That's all. The very same, yes, Emilio, Roger cuckolded me stone. A communications rep for Meta by the name of Andy Stone, different Stone, no relation, I hope, said, earlier today, a technical issue caused people to have difficulty accessing some of our services, and by some we mean all. We resolved the issue as quickly as possible for everyone who was impacted, and we apologize for any inconvenience. You know, if you're impacted, you should probably eat some prunes. Not say it. Just say it. But there is, this was unplanned, but it caused a ripple across the political landscape earlier today. Curtsy and Kyrsten Sinema has decided that she is tired of being a member of the Senate of the United States. Her daddy, Joe Manchin, is leaving, so she's decided she's going to leave too. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been an independent since 2022, and she parroted the same tired bullshit line as Joe to the Manchin Board about how we won't have democracy in the Senate without the filibuster. Oh, Kyrsten, please fuck off into the center of the sun. And she issued a statement. And it was pissy, I think is a good word, pissy, because she's upset with the dysfunction in modern politics. No, really, the dysfunction. Because both sides Darlene said I doubt that the three smart women on the court are having an impact on the handmaid. Darlene says, I doubt it, because Amy COVID Barrett criticized the three ladies on the court for being too strident and not taking the temp down a bit, considering how volatile things are in the country. George Conway said this was a big indicator that she's scared. It was a seriously dumb decision by the scrotum. Don't underplay it. I think given the fact that we devoted 3 hours to it, that was not underplaying. The one very limited result that they got was the correct answer. Everything else was bilious horseshit. You know, only the Congress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now the political stylings of Kyrsten Sinema.
In 2017, I warned we were approaching a crossroads. Our democracy was weakened by government dysfunction and the constant pull to the extremes by both political parties. I promised I would do my best to fix it, to protect and defend our Constitution.
Did you notice the political extremes by both parties? Yeah, political extremes, Kyrsten. One side wants to protect the right to vote. You, of course, stopped that. The other side wants to do everything short of abrogating the 13th Amendment, and maybe that too. And you didn't do much of anything to stop that. Dear God, the hypocrisy is epic.
To listen to others without judging, to focus on what unites us, and to make Americans' lives better. Through listening, understanding, and compromise, we delivered tangible results that make America safer, stronger, and more prosperous. Yet, despite modernizing our infrastructure, ensuring clean water, delivering good jobs and safer communities, Americans still choose to retreat farther to their partisan corners. These solutions are considered failures, either because they're too much or not nearly enough. It's all or nothing. The outcome, less important than beating the other guy. The only political victories that matter these days are symbolic. Attacking your opponents on cable news or social media. Compromise is...
And today's award for best performance in Clueless Privilege goes to Kyrsten Sinema. The only... What was that? Let's check that again.
It's all or nothing. The outcome, less important than beating the other guy.
Really? Well, we can tell she has no skin in the game. Okay, can't we? She'll all, you know, assuming she ever needs anything like that, she'll always have reproductive care somewhere. Because she's got lots and lots of money and white privilege. Yeah, less important than beating the other guy on cable TV. That line made me immediately think, And I didn't go to check and see, but I can't help wondering if maybe Keith Olbermann told her to prop up a tree again. I mean, what a jackal. What a Judas. What a Brutus. What a betrayer. She had a chance to effect positive change for millions upon millions of Americans, and instead she retreated behind the coattails of Joe to the Mansion Born and parroted him.
The only political victories that matter these days are symbolic. Attacking your opponents on cable news or social media. Compromise is a dirty word. We've arrived at that crossroad, and we chose anger and division. I believe in my approach, but it's not what America wants right now. I love Arizona, and I am so proud of what we've delivered. Because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will lead the Senate at the end of this year. Over my career, I've shown how government can work for everyday people. Partnering with Senator Rob Portman and 8 other bipartisan senators, our historic infrastructure law gave Arizonans better broadband, new roads and bridges, cleaner air and water, and more job opportunities. Teaming up with Senator Todd Young, we saved the CHIPS and Science Law from partisan collapse. Now America and Arizona can lead the way in semiconductor manufacturing, and our country is safer and more secure. Working with Senators Mitt Romney, Tammy Baldwin, and others, we gave Americans of all backgrounds peace of mind, protecting marriage and religious freedoms.
Why?
By standing up to short-sighted partisan ideas, I protected our country's economic growth and competitiveness, and kept taxes low during a time of rampant inflation. And I ensured Arizona had a voice in Washington, delivering unprecedented resources for Arizona and the West's historic drought. Bringing Senators John Cornyn, Chris Murphy, and Tom Tillis together to tackle the intractable issue of gun violence, we saved lives and improved our country's mental health care.
Bullshit.
These solutions matter. They make an impact in the lives of everyday Americans. And this is how government should work. It's been an honor to serve Arizona for the past 20 years. Thank you.
And, you know, one term in the Senate. A lot of people saw it. Very few were buying it. The entire thing can be translated as, wow. My poll numbers stink on wheels. And, of course, the fact that she's been abandoned by just about everybody who she relied upon to propel her into office. What a fraud. Matt in San Francisco says, Cinema, I listened to her statement and thought, you pompous, arrogant witch. The reason people won't vote for you is because you're a sellout who couldn't be counted on to vote correctly in a pinch. It's not that you're so righteous and good, but that people don't like that. Go brush your hair, bitch. And she probably will as the president of some university or the member of several corporate boards or perhaps a hedge fund manager. Darlene in Connecticut. Wow, Cinema did a fantastic job, it seems. So why isn't she running again? See my remark on poll numbers that stink on wheels. Supra. I'd almost forgotten that, Lee. Lee said, remember The Ring? This is April 19th, 2021. At Slate, who is Kyrsten Sinema telling to fuck off? Her style has overtaken her substance. Yeah, she was photographed wearing a ring that said, fuck off. And let's see, that was right about the... Well, that was subsequent to Melanoma's I really don't care, do you? Jacket, which we now know was aimed at Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner. Subject line, vomit. Cynthia says, spare me, Kyrsten, spare me. Listen to the obstructionist speak. Vomit some more. Well, we won't have Kyrsten Sinema to kick around anymore. I wonder if maybe they can... take a picture of her. Now, she doesn't have any beachfront to walk along pensively, but maybe they can take a picture of her walking pensively somewhere in the painted desert or something, wearing a pair of black Brooks Brothers Brogan Oxfords. Oh, but the good news here is I feel like Ruben Gallego has a pretty good chance of beating Kari Lake. And so that keeps a seat in Democratic hands. Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx says, Kyrsten Sinema's farewell and good riddance speech. Thank you for playing. You won't be missed. Parting gifts are in the back on the way out. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Sayonara, so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Yes, a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. Steve in New York says, Cinema's constituent, the subject is intentional. Her constituent is just one, herself. One individual, in response to her farewell address, posted a song for the occasion.
Fuck you. Oh, fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you.
That never gets old. Another individual said, I wasted 5 minutes of my life, thanks. You could have said you were retiring far fewer words. I foresee you making TikToks from your parked car in the future. Someone in Phoenix said, good riddance. Please stay out of politics because you suck. Another individual, Excellent. Goodbye forever, and included a GIF from Saturday Night Live saying that she explained her position by saying, pay attention to me! And of course, it's worth remembering when she said that she protected all communities. She has previously identified as a member of the LGBTQ community. And she almost single-handedly destroyed the $15 federal minimum wage that would have changed lives in places like, well, almost level west by coal man Chinyastan. To the extent that people will have trouble voting in 2024, they can thank, well, Joe to the Manchin Born and Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema for their having taken the John Lewis Freedom to Vote Act out behind the woodshed and beaten it to death with an axe handle. Not much in the way of a legacy there. Another individual by the name of Santiago Mayer of a group called Voters Tomorrow said, with Sinema and Manchin gone, quote, it means that if Dems can keep the Senate, they will have the votes to nuke the filibuster and pass the single most consequential legislative package since the New Deal. Abortion, guns, climate, it's all on the table. Hey, Santiago, shh. Let's be smarter than them. Let's not say the quiet part out loud. Matt says, well, as long as she's walking away, I'm all for it. Bye, Felicia. Yeah, what, what Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx said. Sayonara, so long, farewell, have Wiedersehen, goodbye. To you and you and you who? Oh no, we are not singing. We have a $475 fundraising hole to fill. But there's the so. I don't know about you, but I can't work up a good cry for this. And from the blame the victim department, what was he wearing? Kyle Cheney over at Politico has unearthed a message in which Kenneth Cheesebro, presently under indictment in Fulton County, Georgia, said, speaking of January 6, 2021, I think Pence is a lot to blame for this fiasco. That was January 7th, 2021. He had top flight advice available to him more than a month ago. I sketched what we had in mind for alternate electors with Pence not opening envelopes. I detected no enthusiasm for any deviation from the Electoral Count Act. I now think Pence had decided by then not to do anything to press the envelope or create a test case, but decided to not be straight with the president. What? Mother's husband? Not straight? So, he continued on, Cheesebro did. Because remember, what they're talking about pushing the envelope was basically an entirely unconstitutional bid to overturn the election. And anybody with a working legal mind whose last name wasn't Cheesebro or Eastman or Kraken or Ellis told him, I mean, when you've got to look to the likes of Dan Potato with an E, Quayle, to get your job explained to you, what does it mean? Well, that means that he spent a lot more time in law school thinking about being a right-wing talk radio asshole than he did, I don't know. I dare say he would lose a debate over constitutional law with our dear friend David from yesterday. Cheesebroke continued to, if I'm right, Pence gave him false hope. He allowed Trump to hear valid legal theories from, I left out Rudy Giuliani and Eastman, which gave him hope, which was crushed when Pence suddenly crushed them at the end. Yes, he was crushed by all the crushing. And it's worth noting that Cheesebro, while he is under indictment, has already pled guilty down in Hotlanta. Yeah. The maggots wanted to hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree. What did I say about the singing? And it was his fault. I mean, I'm no Mike Pencil Neck Geek fan, but yeah, hardly. I read a story from Axios earlier today that was fun. That the Biden campaign is apparently also a listener to the program. Stoke the stroke, y'all. Stoke the stroke. Because according to Axios, one of the strategies is to needle him so much he will go haywire. You know, speaking with Axios, a Biden advisor said that they're thinking he'll go haywire in public with all the constant ridicule and they went on to say sources tell us that Biden is looking for a fight. Biden's instincts tell him to let it fly when warning about the consequences of Trump winning the presidency again. And of course we've got the State of the Union Thursday evening. Axios continued, this, that Biden advisors have some evidence that Biden is already getting under Trump's skin after Biden's appearance with Seth Meyers. Trump quickly complained about how the show on social media, calling the president a
basket case.
Yeah, right. And speaking of falling apart, a little clip from yesterday's Filthy Morning Habit that we didn't get to because of, well, the 3 hours of Supreme Court analysis, Supreme Court analysis that we had here. The panel had just a gosh darn Jim Dandy good time with the supercut of Nitwit Nero falling apart, you know, going haywire.
Carolina and Virginia. And the guy just kept getting confused. Look at this series of clips.
In Venezuela, did you just see Maduro? Venezuela, it's unbelievable. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out. But they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. We're the only ones. This is the greatest movement in the history of our country, maybe in the history of any country. Even Argentina, they went MAGA. You know Argentina, great guy. He's a big Trump guy. He loves Trump. I love him because he loves Trump. When he called, I took his call. Anybody that loves me, I like them. I said, Abdul, he's still there. He's the head of the Taliban. He said, you're killing our soldiers. Don't do it anymore because terror will rain down on you. And he called you, yes, Your Highness. He called me Your Highness, which is interesting. We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat.
I don't even. What happened there? Charlie Sykes, we see it more and more. He He gets in the middle of sentences. He's reading teleprompters, and his mind still blanks out. Nikki Haley for Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama for Joe Biden. And it's just so pathetic and sad. They're going, oh, he's doing it on purpose. No, he's not doing it on purpose. He's not doing any of this stuff on purpose. And so you take the fact that his mind blanks out and he looks lost. It actually looks like a sad scene to me to see somebody up on stage and blanking out and getting lost. But then you have a guy, first of all, he thinks the person who runs the South American country's name is Argentina. Argentina, great guy.
No. See, that's where Joe Scar doesn't understand my wit and my sarcasm and my big brain. It's just like Shakespeare. When the French king is talking about England, he refers to the King of England as England. Or like, when it's the Duke of Clarence, they just call him Clarence. I was talking just the other day to Prince Billy, but I didn't call him Prince Billy. I called him Wales. Hey, Wales, what are you doing, man?
And thank you for saying get rid of the Romneys and the Republican Party. That is torn out of Kerry Lake's Book of Loserdom. That's where it'll lead you. But also, again, against all this madness and unfortunately an old man who is losing his ability to communicate, he's praising the Taliban leader for calling him Your Highness. I mean, tell us, wrap up that speech for us, if you would, Charlie Sykes. How do you?
Well, what fresh hell. Unfortunately, I'm not a psychiatrist here. You know, what's on display is that, okay, Joe Biden is old, but the other guy is deranged, demented, and pathetic, as you point out, not to mention dangerous. And this is on display. And, you know, as we're sitting here talking about this, we're less than 48 hours away from that guy clinching the Republican presidential nomination. You know, the Republicans have one last off-ramp, and they're not going to take it. They look at this guy, and this is the extraordinary thing, is that Republicans look at him. And I don't have to repeat all the things, you know, I mean, he's been found liable for rape. He's facing 91 felony charges. You have these kinds of, you know, this gaseous malice that you get from these gaffe-filled speeches. And they're looking at him thinking, yeah, we'd like four more years of that. So, you know, if there's any upside here, is that Joe Biden will be able to say, yeah, I'm old. I'm very stiff when I walk. But this guy is also old, and he's crazy, and he's dangerous, and he is incoherent. He needs to make that point. The other maybe upside is that, you know, now that there's, you know, there's no way of denying the fact that it's going to be Donald Trump again, it'll focus the mind. And I agree with you, Joe, that I think Democrats need to stop the bedwetting, but they need to get out of the bed and they need to freak out a little bit, because the reality is maybe this is what it will take for them to realize this guy could become president of the United States. This could actually happen. You know,
I mean, look, does anybody not? What's with the bedwetting Democrats? We talk for 3 hours a night, five nights a week. And I don't know anyone who isn't absolutely terrified at the prospect of Nitwit Nero getting anywhere near the levers of power, let alone the nuclear football or the Oval Office ever again. But at this stage in the process, there's not a hell of a lot to be done. Maybe I'm going to be wrong again, like I was about Merrick the Meek. But I feel like, well, you know, with today, Super Tuesday, everything will be nice and wrapped up, nice and tight for President Biden. It was never going to be any other way. Dean Phillips and Marianne Moonbeam need to just, okay, thank you, we support the president, goodbye. And God only knows who wrote the check that made Dean Phillips get into the race in the first place, but, well, Hopefully there will be a better Democrat in that seat in the House of Representatives from that district in Minnesota now. But I don't see the bedwetting. It's not bedwetting when one is cognizant of an existential threat from a former squatter in the White House. And just one more time, I referenced the sage words of that sage from South Carolina. And, you know, a certain Quaker school in Philly, our buddy Todd. Todd's law, he ain't gonna make it. And so it's when it's someone you love, watching the slide into senility, dementia, Alzheimer's, what have you, is such a tragedy in the purest sense of the word. It has been described as a long goodbye. In the case of Donald Trump, is there anyone who will actually feel anything approaching that? Because Donald Trump's entire existence is more transactional than that of a stripper working the pole. They love him because they think he can give them something. They love him because they want something from him. Because otherwise, there's nothing there to love. But it's only going to get weirder. His pettifogger in the E. Jean Carroll case before Judge Lewis Kaplan filed a motion for a new trial, with his pettifoggers arguing that Kaplan wrongly prohibited him from defending himself during his testimony and that he should have a new trial. In other words, none of his pettifoggers have yet figured out the definition of res judicata. I know what res judicata is. Billable Rick knows what res judicata is. Darlene in Connecticut knows what res judicata is. Steve in New York knows what res judicata is. David in Oregon knows what res judicata is. Dave in Kentucky knows what res judicata is. I think we all know at this point what res judicata is, but counsel for the parking garage is a lost ball in high grass. They wanted to relitigate whether or not he raped E. Jean Carroll. And there's no appealable error there. Kara Scannell over at CNN said that the motion claims that Kaplan erred when he stopped Trump from testifying about his own state of mind and when he gave an erroneous jury instruction on the definition of common law malice. And said that the jury should have been told that they needed to find that it was Trump's sole exclusive desire to harm Carroll. And so, it's not going to happen. He's still begging for more time to post his bond because he still can't find anyone willing to do it for him, and he doesn't have the cash. And, Robbie Kaplan, E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, said, no extensions. Because he hasn't even provided any kind of proffer of evidence that he can afford the payment. He's broke. There's a question we can discuss. what would him being in bankruptcy, assuming there's any portion of this that he can bankrupt, what would him being an active bankrupt mean for his candidacy? Would that just be a matter of his maggot faithful saying, well, I mean, they bankrupted him. They took away all his billions. And, of course, never assigning any sort of culpability for his own actions. And what happened today was probably based entirely on what happened Sunday. And namely the fact that he will go to work, or not he will go to work, but that Robbie Kaplan will go to work, sorry about the misgendering there, Ms. Kaplan, will go to work on him this week for in collecting the defamation damages. Sunday night, Joyce Vance wrote that not all good news for Trump this week. That's because Trump has to post a bond in the E. Jean Carroll case by next weekend, or Carroll can begin to collect on her $83.3 million judgment against him. This is commonly referred to as an appeal bond. If Trump manages to either get a bond or pay the full amount of the judgment into a court account, then Carroll cannot begin efforts to collect it while the appeal is pending. If he fails to do so, her lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, can get right to work. And he's trying to, she observed that he's trying to bargain with the court over how much of a bond he'd have to post, asking for reduced bond, and Joyce Vance said it doesn't work like that. Saying, the court declines to grant any stay, much less an unsecured stay, without first having afforded plaintiff a meaningful opportunity to be heard. He is, in a word, sweating orange bullets. Back to the mailbag for a second. Cynthia just reminding us all. Trump wears diapers. Trump wears diapers. Shout it from the rooftops. Trump wears diapers. And the question is it because of necessity or for fun? And I'm guessing this is a necessity thing for him. If prior reports are to be believed from Noel Kasler about his little Adderall problem. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm sure you're aware that Bruce Willis has a condition known as aphasia. I am. There are several types of aphasia. Donald suffers from fluent aphasia. Trump doesn't hear himself when he says crazy shit. He thinks he's perfectly erudite. What amazes me is not Trump is doing this, it's the fact that his cultists hear what he says and it makes sense to them. Yikes! Yeah, they've got, auditory aphasia? Whatever they hear coming from his mouth is the voice of a god? That sounds about right, right, Ron? Wait, Bill Ulrich, cowbell for you. Counsel for the parking garage is like a lost ball in high grass. It seems easy, but I'll take it. Thank you, Billable. Matt in San Francisco says, even a 1% chance of Trump winning is worrisome, and his odds are better than that. So, yeah, we think that's problematic. Apparently, you were not serious when you said never again. It's not wise to wait until the camps. It's better to pull it out by the roots and step on it until it's dead. So let's get on with the voting so we can decide if it's time to flee. I started on my passport, y'all. And then I had one in the past, and I was like, have you ever had one in the past? Because, you know, you get a sign in penalty of perjury. Yes, I did. And what name was it under? And I gave that. And I had not only the hard copy passport, but the little wallet card. And they want to know where it is. I'm guessing it's in a landfill outside of Beckley, West Virginia. And good luck trying to get a human being on the telephone to sort that out for you. But anyway, that's where we are. Because I feel like I need it. I mean, Matt's already got his. Miss Terry's already got hers. Cynthia, you got yours, hon? And I'm not trying to hyperventilate. But there's another story out. That's one of those stories. Comes out of Missouri, Stan. In which maggots there have introduced a bill in the Missouri legislature that, if passed and signed into law, could literally put teachers in prison. Now, we're trying to put teachers in prison here in almost level west by Coal Manchinia, Stan. The maggots here want to put teachers in prison, or particularly librarians in prison, over books that contain the word pussy or butt plug. I don't, this is not for prurient purposes. I don't make this stuff up. It's just who they are. Well, Representative Jamie Ray Gragg, no, really, his name is Gragg, G-R-A-G-G, Gragg, Gragg, introduced House Bill 2885, and that bill would create a Class E felony in Missouri, Stan, if a teacher or school administrator in any way supports a transgender student's transition. This is where the war is being fought, okay? Because this is where fascist assaults begin. I know I say it over and over again, but I feel a need to do so because I don't share these stories because I share these stories because it's fascism. What does that even mean? Support a transgender student's transition. Well, what that means is calling a trans girl she and her, calling a trans guy he and him, calling a non-binary student they them. A $10,000 fine and imprisonment. Also including the potential to have to register as a sex offender for using a pronoun. Oh, God. And to be clear, Jamie Ray Gragg, well, their bill, I don't know their gender. Jamie Ray Gragg, I mean, I know there are some Jamie Ray women, and there are some Jamie Ray men, but Gragg's bill would make criminals of teachers who support, whether the support be in a material form, or in information or resources, or for nothing but the student's social transition. Something like, you look handsome today. Or, that's a very pretty outfit. Or, love your shoes. Prison time, $10,000 felony, and register as a sex offender. And it calls social transition
the process by which an individual adopts the name, pronouns, and gender expression such as clothing or haircuts that match the individual's gender identity and not the gender assumed by the individual's sex at birth.
At least they had the common decency to refer to it as assumed and not assigned. I've said for a long time that newborns are way too young to be assigned homework. In a statement to Newsweek, J. Murray Gregg said,
"Education begins at home, and it's time for the few liberal activists who've infiltrated the education system to stop interfering in the relationships between parents and their children when the parents want to beat the trans out of them children."
I added that part.
"We need to make sure our teachers, those who spend their lives helping our children grow and prepare for the world, can focus on teaching. HB 2885 does just that."
And here's the thing. There's no guarantee this doesn't get out of committee. It's not certain. But the thing is, these things never just go quietly away. Here in West Virginia, last year they had a bill that said I couldn't go shopping, go to Walmart for a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without running the risk of winding up in the penitentiary for 5 years. It didn't go anywhere. So this year they ramped it up to 10 years, added a 2,500, a half-mile buffer from a school. And filed similar bills in both houses of the legislature. It's terrifying. And like I said, even if it doesn't get out of committee, that doesn't mean it's never going to go away. And the purpose is to tell people that they are not welcome, that they have no rights, no civil rights, no constitutional rights. And that it's okay to debate their very existence within the legislative bodies. Let me know when we're going to start debating the right to exist of straight white Christian men on the floor of these legislatures. Maybe it's time for somebody to start introducing bills like that. But the problem is, you need people who aren't straight, white, Christian, and cis to introduce those bills, and there just aren't that many in the legislatures. Let's see, email. Cynthia said, "Oh no, I missed the question, and I heard my name called. 10 demerits for me. 50 lashes with wet noodles for you." The question was, do you have your passport, Cynthia? And I suspect it's true that you do. Don't cry for me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No singing. Theo says, "Hey, Rowan, it's not a great model to idealize Argentinian politics. After all, Juan Perón had Evita's cadaver mummified and exploited her remains later as an icon to revamp his political fortunes. Makes me wonder what nitwit Nero may have in mind for melanoma and why she hasn't fled a long ways back." Well, the answer to that last part, Theo, is called a prenuptial agreement. Dave and the Blind, indict. Well, Joe and Kirsten, Donald Trump grabbed you both by yourselves, and you let him because he's famous for that. And as for that, you both kissed him, and you didn't even have to be told by a tacky-ass television producer. Let's face it, you guys would roll over on your backs and stick your legs and hands in the air to get a belly rub from the maggots. Now I'm rolling up a newspaper and swatting you both on the nose. Get the hell out. I apologize to any canines I may have traumatized. It was not my intention. after all, even though I'm a four-legged human, I'm still only human. Your buddy Dave and the blind. So, we are 10 past the hour. The filler rockster has gone 70 minutes so far. Ooh, look at all that ciphering. We have $475 to go to catch up with fundraising. That's $175 from yesterday, and today's $300. And bills awaiting, they always are. Let's go to the phones. Someone is on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy Election Day.
Yes, happy Election Day. I was, you know, Matt was writing in a minute ago, and I can ask him. I was going to ask him. I can ask you. Have you seen any turnout numbers?
Not yet, because I have literally been canvassing all morning and all day to remind people that today is Election Day, and I finally put a, I'm at that put a fork in me. I'm done for the day. At this point, it's just kind of futile. Oh, excuse me. When I was listening this morning, they were saying, you know, people walking in, walking right out of voting. I haven't really heard any, like I said, I literally just got in my car, so I haven't listened to the news or anything like that. So let's see. I'm pretty sure if I go to KABC, to the KABC app, because, you know, maybe, you know, because I'm pretty sure they have some election stuff going on and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything. What about Matt? What's happening in his neck of the
world? I don't know if he's heard anything either, but, you know, the last we were talking late last week, and he said he was a little bit concerned because at that point, only 8.9, I think it was 8.9%, he said, of ballots had been returned.
It's horrible. It is an embarrassment. And I am just, especially here in California, there's no reason why we live in a free state, and there's no issues about voting because everybody in the state of California, everybody, not everybody, but everybody, gets a fucking ballot, mail-in ballot. There is no excuse not to vote in California. And the fact that it's just been such horrible voter turnout is distressing. So I'm just clicking on a story right here, LA, and this was as of this morning, 7:02. Voting by mail seeing lower turnout than 2020 primary, Westchester County said. So I voted by mail. Robert, this is how efficient the vote by mail system here is. When you get, before you even get your ballot, you get a text message saying, "Ms. Porter, your ballot is on the way. If you do not receive your ballot by X amount of days, then contact the LA County Registrar's Office." Okay? Once you get your ballot and you fill it in and fill it out or what have you, and you drop it, because, so this is how many ways you can turn in your mail-in ballot. You can either have it picked up by the Postal Service. Take it to, you know, the post office. We have the ballot boxes all over the county. And let me tell you where the ballot boxes are, sis. They're in front of every library in the county of Los Angeles. They're in front of every park in the county of Los Angeles. They're even on some college campuses in the county of Los Angeles. So pretty much, like I said, everybody gets a ballot. Well, everywhere there's a ballot box. Right. If you do not want to turn in your ballot, you know, you still kind of, kind of icky or otherwise about, you know, dropping your ballot in the mailbox and or the ballot boxes, then you could just go to your polling place. And by the way, you could go to any polling place in the county of Los Angeles, regardless of where you live, and vote. You can go to any ballot place in the county of Los Angeles and drop your ballot box, and drop your ballot. There's no excuse. But a lot of it is just people are apathetic, they're tired. But the problem is, bitch, I'm tired too. But I have my happy black fat ass out there pretty much every day, knocking on doors, explaining to people why they need to go out and vote. Because especially this, because see, this is just not the primary. We're doing, you know, that ballot stuff. But see, in L.A. County, I don't know if this is just throughout the state of California, but specifically in L.A. County, normally, I guess, especially primary, they would have, you know, the federal stuff, you know, the at the top of the ballot and down ballot. We switched it in L.A. County. So the local stuff will start. So basically, it's the local elections, and then, so the city of Los Angeles elections, then the county of L.A. elections, which include, you know, so for the city council and stuff like that, and any measures like HLA, which is Safe Streets L.A., which is a ballot measure that, particularly, is saying anytime there's a repaving road in LA City, they have to make dedicated bike lanes. They have to, you know, do all sorts of stuff to improve.
They have to do civilized shit?
So any time that there's a street done, if it passes, then there's been strong opposition from, you know, Republicans. But anywho, so it goes, and so then we go to the county races, which is, you know, George Gascon, you know, the DA, and the judges races, and any county measures. Oh, and the county supervisors and any county measures. And then after that, it's state. The state legislature races, and then after that, it's the Senate, and then the last thing on the ballot is the presidential primary. So you have to go through the entire ballot to get to. I mean, it doesn't preclude people just, you know, shuffling the pages and just voting there, but you just have to look at shit and say, hey, this person's running. Oh, maybe I should pay attention to this. Maybe I should do some research or something, or listen to Tracy and just give her your ballot, and I just fill it in for you.
Now quit that.
I didn't say I would. I said I would fill it in, but they would know that I'm doing it, and they would have to sign, and I would just say, this is why you should vote for this person. This is why we're voting for this person. Okay. Just take my suggestion. But it's just 8%. But see, in 2020, we were fighting against Trump being reelected. We were dealing with the aftermath of George Floyd and all these. So people were energized and activated in 2020. 4 years later, it's a whole different game. And people just don't care, which is, it is distressing, especially for this election with George Gascon, who is a progressive DA, and the judge races. And the problem, like with the judge races, you have no information. You talk about low information, and I love it when people say, well, judge races are unbiased, they're judges. And so they need to let people know what their conviction record is, or if they're Republican or Democrat, because judges are unbiased. We both know that. So I can attest with my lived life experience that is a fallacy. Let's fuck it. It's a goddamn lie. And even just my life. We don't even have to go on what's happening in the extreme court about, you know, activist judges. and what happens when you get a bunch of crazy white people who, you know, want to, you know, take away all autonomy from anyone to decide what she wants to do with her body, or, you know, when they're going to start coming after, you know, same gender marriages, and when they're going to start, you know, they've already, you know, they already destroyed the Voters Rights Act in 2013 because, you know, Roberts said there's no more racism, so we don't need voter protections anymore. And so, you know, we're good. Racism is gone. It's over. That's so, you know, racism, this is so last century. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, but what's disturbing me out of all of this is that numbers are down from 2020, and California, for all it seems like, you know, a safe place for someone like me, California has problems, and no one knows them as well as a Californian does. But so are there just a bunch of people out there who are like, well, you know, shit's good for me. I don't need to vote.
Yes.
I got a roof over my head that hasn't been turned into an Airbnb yet. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm cool.
I'm good. But they don't understand.
The Democrats aren't excited, you know, because there's no horse race to cover.
Right.
And I find it hilarious that Texas and California are having their primary on the same day.
Ah, punk.
But
because I was just trying to remember, because you're the queen of all things political and shit like that.
Yeah. Sure.
When did California become part of Super Tuesday? Because we haven't always been part of Super Tuesday. Do you remember when that happened?
No, not precisely. No. I think you were in 20.
We were in 20.
But I don't recall that you were in 16.
It's 2016. I don't. Because if memory serves, and we both have the memory of a special need. Well, no, you don't. You're better than me. But my retention, mm-mm. And so it's like, because I really believe, because I know our primaries used to be in April. And another thing that they did also in 2020, because we used to have our municipal and county elections, you know, separate from primary. So we used to have, like, you know, an election, you know, a couple, like two or three elections. And somebody finally got, you know, wise up and said, wait, if change this so our municipal elections are in line with, the general and primary elections as well. So people don't decide, I'm not going to vote. Do you know how many people on doors that I knocked on? This one guy said, well, I'm not voting this year. And yes, these are all white people. Because the few black people that I canvassed in Sherman Oaks and Los Feliz and other places, because her district goes from Silver Lake to Reseda. I didn't canvass in Reseda because it was mostly Spanish speaking. So they had certain groups that would go and canvass in. I mean, it's bilingual, yes. But the majority of the constituents in the CETA are Spanish speaking. And so my high school in Spanish from 40 years ago was back on credit. But there was so much, like I said, the few black people that I actually canvassed, they were energized and they knew what was at stake. And they're like, oh, fuck yes, I'm voting. But these were informed. These are people who actually follow politics, especially, like I said, the judge races and, the DA. Because our lives literally depend on who the judges are and who the DA is. Or our freedom. Let me say that. And to how cases are adjudicated. Because, as y'all know, I was on probation for 10 fucking years because racism. And so it's very important about who is not only the DA, but who are the judges.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes.
So, and again, sis, until, even after my conviction, I did not realize until 2020, the makeup of judges in LA County. The majority of them are white men and the former prosecutors. So that's when I started doing research. And researching about judges, it is very difficult. It is so hard to find that, like their conviction rate, who they're convicting, the sentencing, because it's all public records. This is not shit that's, it's not hidden, but it's hidden, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
If you don't know where to look for it. And so, I haven't heard anything, but I think we're not going to get a lot of the, I'm hoping that in the small corner of Seminole, well, we did canvas Encino, which I still understand why we did not, but again, I'm not a campaign manager or field organizer, so that is not my job, and nor would I want it. After watching what these people go through, girl, you can have that shit. I will help, but to have to actually run things. Okay, let me rephrase that.
No, you have
to run the hell out of shit.
You turn into a paranoid, neurotic mess.
Yes, and we don't need that from Mama Tracy.
No. By the way, Matt in San Francisco said, I dropped our ballots at a ballot box about a mile from my house. God,
mm-hmm.
How sensible. Meanwhile, my legislature's worrying about passing bills saying that you can't be non-binary on a driver's license or when it's not even legal in the first place. They are literally passing a law to say you can't do something that a previous law already says you can't do. That's how committed they are. Lee in New York says, cowbell for Tracy for encouraging voter participation and everyone else who does the same. How very civic of
you,
Lee.
Thank
you. Now, as to low turnout, Steve, with a good question. Might Gaza have something to do with it? It might on the Democratic side.
It does on the Democratic side. As a matter of fact, when we were canvassing, I never got the question because I think people realize don't fuck with me. And they probably, maybe she's a Muslim, so we're not going to ask that question.
She's a Muslim.
She's Muslim. No, not Muslim.
She's a follower of that Malcolm Tan fella.
Right, that Malcolm Tan fella. She be eating, hanging out with the minister there or Tan. But a lot.
It occurs to me. You know what? The estate of Malcolm X should sue the living shit out of Leon Scum. For appropriating his name. Has anybody else mentioned the fact that him changing the name of Twitter to X is cultural appropriation?
And on top of that, is the box not black?
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, just saying.
Yeah,
And by the way, in regard to Kyrsten Sinema calling it quits today. Wait, no, stop. You get a cowbell just for that laugh.
Girl, that's why I was calling you in the first place. Sorry, no, it's new, but I just, like I said.
Gone will be the buffalo check plaid skirt that she did her Britney Spears cosplay in. Gone will be the thumbs down.
When I saw that shit, because I literally saw that shit right before I dialed your number and was praying that I could get through so I could just do that laugh that I just did.
Do it again. I mean, yeah, that's worthy of a Ron Monkey Up Declantis laugh. Ha!
Girl, I'm sitting in here laughing like a fool because my ass was dragging today. Because I'm tired, and I'm tired of apathy, and I'm tired of people. And it's white people, like you said, the motherfuckers that think they don't have skin in the game. But see, the majority of the people that we've been talking to for the last couple of days are renters. And they do have skin in the game in apartments because, again, I don't know, Cynthia Rahmans and her team has passed the strongest, let me say it for those, the strongest renter protections in the city, in the entirety of the city of Los Angeles in 40 years. 40. Okay. So that's four decades. Okay. That's ready for it. That's two score, bitch. 40 years. Since we've had any kind of renter protection, except for people like Jen and I, because we rent a single. So the only two places excluded in those renter protections, we have like eviction protection and stuff like that. We don't have protections on how rent increases. Cause I think right now you could only increase your rent, the tenant's rent, maybe 4%, or it may have gotten up to 6% or 9%. Let's just say 9%. I don't think it's that high, but let's just say 9%. And I was telling people, because a lot of people don't realize that, and because I am who I am, I do know this shit. And so the problem is, and I was just saying this, just last week I was saying how fortunate Dan and I have the person that owns our house. It's really sweet and cool. She hasn't raised our rent since we've been there. Well, Jenna lived there before, then she moved out and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But let's just say she hadn't raised the rent in like 10 years. Yeah, she died. And her son's like, I'm not going to sell the property because it's sentimental to me. You guys are good tenants and blah, blah, blah. But of course, he raised our rent. It's almost twice as much as what we were paying.
What?
Except he can't.
Except
so we would pay, you know, because he can't. So because again, we're in a single family house. So they can raise the rent to any amount they want in a single family home or a condominium. So if I owned a condominium and I decided to rent it out, I could rate, but see, because I'm a caring, empathetic person, there's no way. If I had good tenants, not only taking care of the house, but doing, you know, a majority of the improvements and stuff like that, because we did not want our rent raised. Not that she would have, but, you know, personally, I told Jen not to do it, but, you know, she's a white woman. She don't listen to me because I'm just a Negro and I don't know shit. Not just kidding.
But stop that. My just
but
stop that.
It's like, but she's like, well, from now on, we're not making any repairs. I said, but you better not be. But here's the sad part. Even with him raising the rent to something that is just kind of ridiculous, it's still cheaper than what we would pay, have to pay if we moved somewhere else.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, moving is, again, California has its own California problems, and moving is something you don't want to be doing anytime, like, between now and ever.
And ever? Because, no.
Oh, and by the way, going back to California and Super Tuesday and all that, Roger, in Oregon, California primaries, historically, Roger says, they were on June 6th or the Tuesday closest. This got changed because the feeling was that things had been decided by then and the vote didn't count.
Right. I
think it changed after 2016 because I remember that calculus being part of the whole Bernie can still win part thing. I was guilty.
I was guilty. I know. And I love you for it. I love your optimism.
I own it. I mean,
you know, I love the fact that you thought that Bernie can win against the Democratic machine. Come on, but I'm glad you. It's like.
But the thing is, we've got a president now that even Bernie likes.
Right.
You'll notice he's not in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as with 2016, we're not in the middle of a damn pandemic now. And we don't,
right?
and there's no incumbent who's looking for people to lock up or just otherwise generally shit on. So everybody's comfortable mm-hmm. now. You know, Joe Biden's the incumbent. Don't gotta worry. Yeah. Well, the worrying part is about to begin, and I can't blame. Fundraising has been pretty good for the Biden camp. I can't blame him for not wanting to spend a bunch of money on a primary that he's going to walk away with.
Correct. I mean, just in LA alone, I'm not even talking about the fucking stamp. I'm talking about LA. They were pulling, you know, fundraisers with $500,000 plates.
Yeah.
So the fundraising stuff is the money is long and deep, you know. But the this is what I heard something today, and I'm not surprised. So one of the guys, we have a canvasser, and I love him. He's the word of cervix doesn't even begin to describe this man, but he's really smart, and he's just really. I'm tired of people, I know I'm neurodivergent, but I don't really like people, but I need to do this to get out the vote. So he said he had this interesting conversation with a guy. He lives here now. He's from Germany, but he's not a citizen, but his wife is. And, he was saying how the election process is is vastly different. From it is in the United States. So apparently, whoever, if you're going to run for office, everybody gets the same amount of money, whoever decides to run, from the government, I believe. And that's it. There's no outside money that are put into elections. You get whatever money you get from the government is what you get to spend on your campaign. That's it. So that means that people aren't constantly having to fundraise. And people could actually govern. And when they, you know, present their platforms, you get to choose who you feel is going to represent you the best because they have time to tell you what they're, you know, what they're all about. Whereas here, especially, you know, in the bullshit that's going on right now with fucking Adam Schiff, And I'm mad if you're listening. I need my California peeps to weigh in on this about this whole Adam Schiff, Steve Garvey thing and how isn't it amazing to me that Steve Garvey didn't spend a dime on ads, television ads, but all
he didn't
all
have
these
one
ads
to be.
About.
I mean, He didn't have a right. time.
Right. And so all this money pumped into basically activating the Republican vote, because let's face it, the last time there was a Republican senator from the great state of California, the U.S. Senate, 1988, and I don't even know who the fuck that was. I'm pretty sure the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee will let me know. But, so the fact that, you know, Steve Garvey wasn't even in the race, because most Republicans realize what's the point in running the Senate, U.S. Senate in the state of California. It's a statewide race. But somehow,
the California contingent weigh in on Tracy's question. But on a more basic level, are you okay with the jungle primary?
Good question. And until the whole bullshit with Steve Garvey being propped up by Adam Schiff, I was okay with it until now.
It seems like it's kind of a watered down rank, but it's not. It's not ranked choice voting at all. But we're going to count, and we're just going. Whoever gets the top two votes, it could be two Democrats, it could be two Republicans, it could be a Republican and a Democrat, whatever. But they go on to November.
Right.
And if Republicans are vastly outnumbered in California, I can see, you know, not wanting to give them the inherent advantage of or privilege of having someone that's just going to get killed, swamped, bad word, killed. Somebody that's just going to get swamped in November. I mean, the California Assembly is at no risk of going MAGA. I mean, you've got some, but
no risk of going MAGA, but we're getting more centrist Democrats.
Oh yeah, you can always go corporate.
Right, we're getting more corporate.
But this seems, I guess what I'm getting at is, if I'm going to make a comparison with anyone, this seems as counterproductive, the jungle primary in California seems as counterproductive to me as does the free-for-all, shenanigans for everybody approach to primaries in places like Alabama and South Carolina stand. You know, it didn't make any real difference, but in South Carolina stand, you had registered Democrats coming out. It's like, yeah, Joe Biden's going to be fine. But you had registered Democrats coming out to try to, put some malarkey into the Republican race by running out and casting a ballot for Mrs. Governor, Ambassador, Speaker of the House, Haley.
Right.
I mean, it didn't avail her anything, but I guess people got some fun out of it.
Got some fun out of it.
But it delegitimizes and makes a circus or piece of absurd performance out of the primary. And it feels like the same thing happens in California. And I'm sure the California contingent is pissed off at me now for having compared South Carolina stand and Alabama to California.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble.
But you know, if I was Empress of America, I would have long since changed the name of, because we've just been discussing this for years, I would have long since changed the name of Orange County to Mississippi County, California.
Right. But it's like, like this whole thing, because see, in Tracy's world, if Tracy ruled the world, or at least the great state of California, first of all, there would be no such thing as Citizens United. you couldn't put dark money into elections, and it would be the two Democrats that would be in the primary and in the general actually would be Barbara Lee and Katie Porter. But I don't run shit. But I just, and this is when I love it, when I'm working around young people, because I am literally the oldest canvasser and the only black canvasser, paid canvasser, in this campaign. That kind of troubles me as well, but that's a whole nother conversation.
No, I understand.
But the fact is that, you know, going back to what I was saying about Germany, they can vote on people because of who they are and what they represent, and this is who we want to represent us. Whereas in every place else in this country, it's who has the better ads, who has, you know, who's going to spend the most on the ad spend, you know?
Well, yeah, but be careful of over appreciating parliamentary governmental forms. And the class.
Well, my point being is, like, if it was up to me, I would rather. I wish that Barbara Lee would have the same amount of money, in case, you know, that everybody else, you know, that. So, because to me, because my plan was, because before, you know, the whole Steve Garvey thing, I knew everybody just knew it was going to be Katie Porter. And I guess it could change, because remember, mail in ballot.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I'm about to do something, because, you know, at first, I'm about to do something that upsets you, but just listen, I'm sorry.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, sweetie. Can I get a double-double animal style with raw onions and cooked onions and an order of fries and a Neapolitan shake, please?
A double-double animal style with raw onions and a Neo shake?
Yes.
That's what the car say?
To go.
All right, that was
1194
for the person,
though. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay, go ahead, call me.
Real time, real world radio. wait, a double animal?
Style is with extra spread and mustard and grilled.
Where am I living vicariously through you right now?
In and out.
Oh, you're going to get a Bible verse. Oh.
You know what?
Oh, not gonna lie. That Neapolitan shake sounds like,
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, sis. You know, I don't remember how many years ago that you guys said that about the Bible verse. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? This Bible verse. I've been going to In-N-Out for decades. And it shows you how much I paid attention. I had no clue that there was a Bible verse.
That's okay. We've got a place called The Cookout, and they're all over the Southeast, and there's a Bible verse on everything. Your drink cup, your burger wrapper, your French fry little baggy thingy. Yeah. That ink had to cost something, and that means if I go there, I'm paying for their dumb Bible verse. I might not be so disinclined against them if it was some of the fun Bible verses, like, you know, Lot's daughters getting Lot all liquored up and, you know, having their way with him, or, you know, one of those creepy.
Wait, I thought it was Noah's daughter.
No, that's Noah's sons. Genders. No, it's Lot's daughters, or maybe one of those creepy apocalyptic verses from the. Wouldn't you just love to open your double animal style with extra raw onions and cooked onions, and see right there in front, and their eyes shall rot out in their heads, and their tongues shall explode in their mouths. That I could get down with. That would be fun. And I beheld a pale horse, and the horse was death, and hell rode with him.
Now see, but But that's my favorite line in Tombstone, baby.
Oh, I know.
That and the way Kurt Russell delivers that line.
Hold the hell. But what makes it animal style? Damn it.
I still don't understand what makes it. Literally, I really don't understand what makes it animal style. But it's something. I think it's because. And this is one of those things you guys got to look up on the interweb to.
I'll never be able to go to In-N-Out because I don't speak the language. I'll just stay here and go down to Atlanta to the Varsity and order two All the Way Dogs Walking.
See, and I have no idea what the fuck you just said. Uh huh.
You've been to Hotland. You've been to the Varsity. Tell me you haven't.
I have not. My brother doesn't like it. See, my brother and I have the same taste in the damn same taste in food, sis. And if he doesn't like it, it stands to reason that I won't either. But I promise you. See, now I'm getting that silence. You see what you're doing. But I promise you, the next time I go to Atlanta, I will go to the Varsity.
The onion rings.
I promise.
The onion rings and the jumbo FO. The jumbo FO. The jumbo FO is a frosted orange shake that tastes like a slightly melted dreamsicle.
Bitch.
Yes. And the onion rings are legendary. And back when I was there eons ago, Creative Loafing was the underground paper or the independent, whatever we call it. And they listed the hardest jobs in Atlanta. One was proofreader for the Atlanta telephone book, because back then there were still telephone books. Because it's impossible not to fuck up an address on Peachtree. And I think they listed the hardest job in Atlanta as being onion chopper at the Varsity. Because you know how you go into like Five Guys and they've just got bags of potatoes stacked to the ceilings along the walls.
Right.
Well, it was like that, only it was humongous 50-pound bags. Of sweet onions from the Crimea River Onion Company of Walla Walla, Washington. Or Vidalia.
Walla Walla?
Yeah, water. I mean, yeah, in the local dialect, and water and plenty of it. At least according to Tom Robbins in Still Life with Woodpecker. But, yeah, the hardest job in Atlanta was onion chopper at the Varsity, and whoever it was they interviewed said, yeah, I just get up and go to work in the morning still smelling like onions from yesterday, no matter how much I shower. And I know I'm just going to open that door and start crying and cry till the end of my shift. But oh, those onion rings.
Oh,
Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc In-N-Out Burger Secret Menu Research Department.
It is a secret menu.
Yeah.
Like the Neapolitan shake is on a secret menu, by the way.
Okay, animal style. Burger of your choice with hand-leafed lettuce. Does that mean it's lettuce that looks like a hand? Tomato, a mustard-cooked beef patty, add pickle, extra spread with grilled onions. But why is it animal?
Bitch, I don't know. It's some hipster thing. I don't know. Because, see, you and I both have logical brains.
Oh, the grilled cheese sounds really good, even with the Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know about this hand-leafed lettuce.
Well, they don't chop it. They peel it, hand-leafed lettuce.
Okay. In other words, like the entire world used to do it. Oh, that triple just looks like a heart attack waiting to happen. Three slices mm-hmm. of beef, three slices of cheese. Good Lord, there's a 4x4. How do you mm-hmm. get the 4x4 in your mouth?
With a jack.
Okay, and your favorite burger wrapped in hand-leaved lettuce instead of a bun. I can't stand to have messy hands, so that's a no-go.
Nope.
Shakes. So the Neapolitan is just all three flavors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I confess, it looks tasty. It can be a challenge getting a good burger around here. But I got to tell you, Secret Sandwich Society, and this is an unpaid product placement, Secret Sandwich Society brought back my favorite sandwich for a limited time. And I've only had it once, and it'll go...
Oh, yeah,
the McKinley. It's their homemade spicy meatloaf with bacon jam and bacon and French fried onion straws on grilled sourdough.
Yes, bitch. She told me about that.
Oh.
And I was wiping the drool for the side of my mouth. I'm like, oh,
so
God
good.
Damn it.
So good. With the fresh fries and the pimento cheese on the side. Bring it. Mm-hmm. The protein style is without the bun wrapped in lettuce.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Ralph's was kind enough to put a challenge on the table, a $25 challenge for Kirsten Cinema retiring. It will be available until it is filled, so if we could find 25 bucks laying around, then Ralph's will double it, and we won't have a goose egg this evening. And that would be fantastic. Wonderful.
And it's election day, y'all. Come on.
And by the way, Micah wrote in from Michigan and said... as to cinema, so long, and thanks for all the fish. Don't go away mad. Just go the fuck away. There's never a bad time for a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe quote. So long, and thanks for all the fish. Had a note from Billable Rick, Tracy.
Uh-oh.
My votes...
Hi, Billable.
Hi, Billable, yes. My votes and general impressions as to this year's elections. Contrary to Tracy's impressions, it appears to me that people are getting fired up about the upcoming election this fall. From the war on women, LGBTQ people, and reproductive rights, to the banning of books, to the outlawing of IVF, we all know now that embryos are full-grown, living, breathing, and eating children. They're eating children? It only gets worse. To the threat of fascism and the U.S. becoming the new Russia, to the kowtowing and aiding and abetting of House Republicans to Putin's aggression in Ukraine, I sense that rational voters will come out in droves to vote against Trump and to vote for Democrats this fall. Oh, and today I got
in the fall, yes.
Yeah, today I got to cast two votes for the U.S. Senate on one ballot. The first vote was for the full term of the Senate seat held by the late Dianne Feinstein for January 2025 to 2031. The second vote was for the unexpired term of Ms. Feinstein, spanning from now until January 3rd, 2025, since Governor Newsom's caretaker appointee to that seat, LaFonza Butler, has decided she doesn't even want to serve the remainder of Senator Feinstein's term. She's out of her league, Donnie.
Nope.
Yeah, she's out of her league, Donnie. So I voted for... Never a bad time for a Big Lebowski reference, either. So I voted for Adam Schiff for the full Senate term and Katie Porter for the remainder of Senator Feinstein's term. Oh, that's creative.
Okay.
There was only one initiative on the ballot relating to increasing funding for the homeless by $300 million, which I voted against. I did so because the initiative... Because the initiative foolishly linked the increased funding for homelessness to reallocation of $140 million of homeless aid from counties to the state, which would increase the red tape and complicate funding for individual projects. I know how difficult it is to deal with state tax authorities. That is, after all, Billable's bailiwick. And believe that funding for specific homelessness projects should be handled by the county, which is closer to the people than the state. I voted for George Gascon for LADA, and when a judicial seat had competed... Yay. Cowbell. And when a judicial seat had competing prosecutors and public defenders or defense attorneys, I uniformly chose the public defenders or defense attorneys. I'm hoping that my drop-off ballot gets counted Since I initially signed the outer envelope containing my ballot with my first name, middle initial, and last name, but then realized that my full middle name appears on my voter registration, so I then added the remaining letters of...
We're not in Mississippi. They're not going to check your... You know, they're going to look at it, but they're not going to...
So I then added... I added the remaining letters of my middle name after my middle initial and then initialed above that addition. What a lawyerly thing to do. If the ballot isn't counted initially, I'm fairly confident that the registrar of voters will contact me and allow me to cure my ballot because California election authorities actually want all votes to count. And P.S. To the best of my knowledge, animal style out and in burgers contain Thousand Island dressing, ketchup, and pickle relish.
Okay. I don't know.
That's what they mean by spread. That's what they mean by spread. Thousand Island.
Oh, yeah, that's a spread.
Here's something funny that I just learned recently. Do you know that in Germany, Thousand Island dressing is referred to as American sauce?
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, they don't
and
know.
You know me. Because you just said, what's in the spread? What was in it? I don't do Thousand Island dressing because...
Isn't ketchup with Thousand Island dressing... Isn't that redundant in the first place? Because Thousand Island dressing is ketchup and mayo and pickles?
Right.
Although the Ken's Steakhouse brand of Thousand Island dressing has a little bit of a spice kick to it, and it's the only Thousand Island
right.
I eat.
Well, see, so obviously when I said more spread, you know this burger's not for me. Because
the confusion was coming in. It's like, what is Tracy doing ordering Thousand Island on a burger?
No, it's for the Oompa Loompa.
You.
What?
Well, I mean, I guess that's kind of like when, you remember way, way, way back when George W. Bush was writing Valentine's poetry to Laura?
What you can write.
You calling her the Oompa Loompa reminded me. He said, hey, roses are red, violets are blue, my lump in the bed. How I love you. Lump in the bed. Well, lump ain't far from loompa. Not saying. Just saying.
That's true. Just saying. Loompa. Yeah. But lump in the bed, that's up there with saying that she's a dead leg. What?
I mean,
at least that's what I get from it.
Well, we've had the ongoing discussion about in vitro fertilization. There's something tickling a brain cell somewhere far back in the dark and spidery reaches of my brain that seems to recall that there was something about the two Bush girls being conceived by in vitro fertilization.
Well, I know the Obama girls were. But I didn't know that. Really?
I may be wrong. I'm being told when we were talking about the varsity. Herman says, check out a PBS special called A Hot Dog Program, which shows people ordering hot dogs from the varsity.
There's a whole program dedicated
to hot dogs. And apparently the varsity features prominently.
See, you know, hot dogs, I love me a good chili cheese dog. And hot dogs, see that snap when you get a hot dog or a frankfurter when you bite into it and it's that snap and it's perfectly grilled.
Oh, you like it? Wait, you like them grilled? Ooh.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody?
Not necessarily.
You hear I said that? It's like,
This is something repugnant.
Yeah, what's wrong with the rest of you people? Don't like them grilled. And you talk about Snap, the snappiest dog I've ever bought. I got up at the Wiggling Pig the first time a couple of months ago, and the minute I mentioned the brand, Clarence was immediately in the email going, "Oh, girl, Dietz and Watson. Dietz and Watson. It's a Philadelphia concern. They do all kind of charcuterie, but their hot dogs are
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I heard what you said. I just said charcuterie because I'm a hillbilly, and I just didn't feel like working up a good French accent. Charcuterie.
There's actually a cheese board that is shaped like a shark.
Get out. Charcuterie? Oh, shut up.
No, charcuterie.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's a guy who does woodworking over the farmer's market. Will be reopening soon over in Oak Hill, and I can't wait. And there's a guy who does woodworking over there, and I want a charcuterie board in the shape of the outline of the state of West Virginia. Wouldn't that be charming?
The state of who? On a happy note, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying West Virginia, because No, listen, Linda.
Look in, Linda.
So, I've had shitty canvassing for the last couple of days, and in all truth and honesty, I'm just tired. So anyway, there's this one guy who literally just started. No, I'm sorry, they just started. This one person, just started canvassing like the last week, because we needed, to hire more people, because our numbers weren't door knocking numbers. But so he's very full of just all this energy. So apparently they knocked on somebody's door today or yesterday, and they just moved here from West Virginia.
Oh.
And did not realize that they can. Yeah, but wait, since there's more. Because again, I live in the fucking great state of California, and you can register today to vote. Because, of course, they're moving from West Virginia. They didn't know there was such a thing as same-day registration and voting. Today, for the first time since moving to California.
So there's one more West Virginian out there pining for the hills.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that exciting? And there was another incident where they were, like I said, today just was not Tracy filling canvassing today, and I did what I could do. I was actually kind of happy that people didn't answer their doors today, because I know people, I knock on doors, I know they're home, they don't answer the door because they're black. And so I'm like, today I wasn't.
What am I going to do with you?
That's how I just slid in. Then I got to answer the door. Wait, I didn't tell you about the bitch I can't. So I knocked on the door. Nobody answered the door. So I left the door hanger.
Okay.
And so I was walking away, and she opens the door, and I turn around, and she screamed. Because I wasn't like I was. She knew there was somebody there. And I had walked away. I was walking down the stairs, up the steps. And so I was nowhere near her, and then she saw my black body, and oh my God. And I'm like, cause it's not like there was a shock because somebody at the door. It's not like, you've had those moments if you've had it happen and you're walking at your door and you're like, you're backing out and you turn around and there's somebody there cause you didn't know somebody was there. No, this was not the case. She knew somebody was there. You stupid cunt. Sorry. And because I'm trying to get out of the intersection,
We've had an appearance of the C word on this Titanic Tuesday.
Oh, these people that are turning, and it's like, I'm trying not to get a ticket for blocking the intersection, and I shouldn't be getting, but people are turning in front of me, making it very difficult for me to get out the intersection. But they were in a Mercedes and it was a white woman. So anyway, the woman opens the door.
Oh, that's driving privilege.
Right. And she sees me. She closes the door and then opens the peephole to speak to me. What?
Nothing.
Just to tell me that she's not voting for Nithya Raman.
What? Okay.
You know, and I'm like, you knew that I was, I have, not only did I have Nithya Raman literature in my hand, see, I have a fucking Nithya Raman shirt.
You think she's going to do okay?
I wanted to say that I know it's a shock to see a black person in your space, but I just want to make sure, do I need to send, you know, should I call 911? Do you need a blankie? Are you going to be okay? And you do get that chance to listen. Oh, by the way, folks, I had a guest appearance, my very first guest appearance on a podcast. And you're like, you guys are probably going, bitch, you talk on this show every time, but I've never been on a podcast before. And I was with Mike Bonin, who was a former city council person. If y'all remember, when those disgusting tapes came out in October of 2022, and they were talking about the council person with the adopted black son. That was his son that they were talking about. But anyway, he has a podcast, and the podcast was about he's been doing a series of podcasts about the elections and interviewing the local people running for office in the city and county of LA. No, not the county, just the city. The county. And so he had me on to talk about why it's so important that George Gascon was reelected. But one of the things we were talking about is all these, there's 11 people running against George Gascon. So he's going to make it to the general. That's not even an issue. It's just who's going to be running against him. But anyway, we were talking about the comfort level of white people and how the government and the media has done a magnificent job of weaponizing black bodies and fear-mongering amongst, so that when there are people, that when you have the people who are tough on crime and law and order, basically translates to throw black and brown people into jail. And how the idea of black people being in spaces that are perceived as white folks only. And I didn't say white folks, you would have been proud of me, sis. I said, you know, the melanin challenge or melanin deficient. I said that, or non-melanated. I said something, you know, along those lines, but I said the only way that certain people feel safe is when we aren't in their spaces. And I am a black person, and when people recoil from me, or when I walk up close to a white person and they clutch their purses, y'all, I'm an overweight, middle-aged black woman. What possible threat can I be?
Oh, but you got to understand, to a Becky or a Karen, you are LeBron fucking James with gang tattoos all over you. You don't even have to have them. You don't even have, we know, you don't even have to vaguely resemble that. It's just what their brain sees. By the way, we started a thing with the sauces. Tom in Sunny San Rafael said, American sauce reminds me that in Mexico, Worcestershire sauce is known as salsa inglesa.
And that means what?
English sauce.
Oh, sauce. English sauce. Yeah, because that's so much easier than trying to say Worcestershire.
Wash your sister sauce.
That's right up there with charcuterie. I can't get up. I won't. I'll never get tired of saying that. Charcuterie.
Okay, Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thousand Island dressing. MD's secret sauce is a fake Russian dressing. Russian dressing has a bit of heat, a little bit of heat, a little bite of heat. MD?
It's the sauce.
Wait.
It's the sauce, man.
It's out, yeah. And there's a hot dog chain down in central Alabama called Sneaky Pete's. Their sauces are interesting.
Ooh. Now, speaking of hot dog chains, we had this great chain here in L.A. I mean, it wasn't like a chain. There might have been maybe six locations. Now there's only one called Cupid's. And you talked about a mean chili dog, sis, because they make their chili from scratch every day. Not every day, but every day. And it was so good. So good. And so now there's only the one location, which, like I said, I love hot dogs. And it just pains me that this, remember when Wiener Schnitzel was good?
Yes. It still is, depending on where you go.
Depending on where you go. I had a Wiener Schnitzel dog just the other day, and it was good. But then, like, so this, okay, fucking Tesla. So I'm pulling into the driveway of this parking lot. There's a guy turning left, and I'm about to pull in, but the fucking Tesla decides that he doesn't want to wait for the person to turn left. And as I'm pulling in, he goes around the person turning left so he could turn right in front of the person.
That shit drives me crazy. Or the people who stop who have the right of way and wave you out into traffic, making a left turn in front of them. My little intersection right down here at the foot of my road, every day. And I've gotten to the point where I'm not nice about it. I'm like, and they can see me screaming in the car, "You have the right of way. Turn.
Turn!"
And you
turn,
know,
bitch.
And
turn.
I look like an Airedale waving a fucking jet onto an aircraft carrier. You know.
No, you have no sense, right?
So I mean, there's that. I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the program. We've done a lot of we did hot dog and hamburger porn tonight, didn't we? The smoker is assembled.
Did the heavens open up and the celestial choir started?
Yes, yes. And then they said, "Bitch, go make the Dick Howell slaw right now." So there will be Dick Howell slaw dogs.
What is it?
Fiery.
Stop acting as though I know what you're talking about.
Oh, we've only been talking about this for 15 years, Tracy. This is that slaw from that little barbecue joint in Alabama that's like the third oldest barbecue joint in the state.
Robin?
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, I see. This is when I wish I knew your middle name so I could do the first, middle, and last name.
Well, there's four. It's a
because
lot.
Because that's one of those. Okay, there's a lot, but, you know, because when somebody says your entire name, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, I feel like I'm about to get some shit.
Right, because we have been talking about stuff like you said for it seems like
I just don't feel seen. That's all.
Bitch, what? Of all the things that you don't feel seen about, fucking coleslaw for real?
It ain't coleslaw, girl.
For real, no bitch, really.
Ain't no mayonnaise. No, there ain't no mayonnaise nor Miracle Whip anywhere near it.
Doesn't matter. It's just of all the things that I just want to be seen. When I say I see you because I love you, and you gonna bring a fucking coleslaw.
It is. You stop that. It is not coleslaw. This is a hill girl die on.
You gonna die on this hill.
This poo haw slaw.
right here. It's why we can't.
So I'm gonna be making the slaw. I've ordered 2 quarts of Dreamland sauce for the ribs.
And what is Dreamland sauce? Go ahead and say, we've been talking about this for years.
Well, I mean, it's not untrue. It's from the best rib joint in the entire world, Dreamland, on Jug Factory Road in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Okay. Again.
The other locations are not the other locations are not quite as awesome. You gotta go to the home office, but they do they bottle their barbecue sauce. It's fantastic because I think the whole jar has 2 carbs in it.
Oh fuck, that's wow.
I'm kidding. It's like
It's like
2 carbs for 2 tablespoons. So you can knock down an entire slab of ribs and have it just absolutely sloppy and slathered with that stuff, and you're still good.
That's righteous.
It is. Now, Ralph's Poohall Slaw. Poohall Slaw. Poohall Slaw.
Poohall.
Clarence, by the way, I conjured Clarence. He said, good Philly eats.
Hey, Clarence?
Dietz and Watson beef dog, the Amoroso roll, and Goulden's mustard. It'll make your tongue slap your brain out. There's an In-N-Out on U.S. 74.
You don't get out of the fucking street.
It sounds.
What's wrong with people? These people are sitting in the middle of the street with a child where they got all this sidewalk, and y'all just going to sit in the middle of the street.
Dispatches from the mean street. Dispatches from the mean streets of L.A. Courtesy of Tracy. And by the way, Clarence says there's an In-N-Out on U.S. 74 in Monroe, North Carolina, and I'm a regular customer.
There's an In-N-Out in
Monroe, North Carolina.
I didn't know they made it that far east.
Don't worry, they'll never come to West Virginia.
You're gonna come here and I'm gonna take you to In-N-Out. But we're not gonna go to the one by the airport because that's for suckers.
Y'all, in LA, the In-N-Out over by LAX is for suckers. You heard it here first.
That line is so long because all the people who are here on layovers and want to go to In-N-Out, you know, full transparency, I'm going to get struck by lightning. I'm not a huge In-N-Out burger fan. I do like their fries and I like their shakes. But to me, their patties are too thin. I'd rather have, if I'm going to have a hamburger from a chain, I'd rather go to Fat Burger. Plus, the Fat Burgers, they know about larvae. And, you know, that's the national seasoning of all things black.
Yeah, I love how you said larvae.
Larvae. And yeah, that's how we say it. And so, the one of the reasons why Jan actually passed the test of, you know, me allowing whiteness into my life is because she knows.
Yes.
You know, kind of, she not only has heard of, but she loves laundry seasoning, so.
Yeah, I cheat and I buy the cheap Kroger brand version. It's not quite as good, but it's still good.
Well, it's still good, but see, we have Lawry's is a Southern California concern.
Is it? I thought Lawry's was a, you got me doing. I thought Lawry's was a McCormick product.
No. Lawry's, well, McCormick, oh, you mean like McCormick seasoning?
Yes.
Might have been, but the restaurant, Lawry's, you know, for prime rib?
Yeah.
That started here in Pasadena.
Are they the same thing?
Yes.
So they were.
When
the,
you go to Lawry's?
Yeah, your prime rib is seasoned with.
And they actually have Lowry's seasoning salt on the table. And seasoned pepper as well.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there's a, the very first actual, the very first Lowry's family restaurant was the Tam O'Shanter, which is still there in Los Feliz. And that is where Walt Disney started drawing Mickey Mouse. As a matter of fact, they still have a booth dedicated to him because his studio started in Los Feliz. That part.
I'll be darned.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I thought you, you know, Lowry sees, girl. I mean, I cannot, if you ever have, if you, whenever, when you do come out here and you do have my cooking, it's pretty much everything that I cook when it comes to certain things. But I don't put Lowry's seasoning salt on my eggs. I don't like that. And a lot of people do. That's a bridge too far for me. Just, you know, regular salt and pepper and butter is fine for me with my eggs. I just, but girl, some Lowry seasoning salt on some French fries, there?
Yes.
Do you have, you, when, and this is one of those things, this is a, such an LA thing. You can always tell who's in the kitchen when the fries come. If, even if it was black, even if it was, you know, Latinx folks back there cooking, you know whoever started that place was black because of the Lowry seasoning salt on the fries.
See, I never knew it was a black thing because there was never a time as when I was growing up that there wasn't a bottle of Lowry's in the spice cabinet. It went on everything.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. It went on everything. And so I think it might not just be a black thing, but it might just also just be a Southern thing as well, which hence, you know, is a black thing and white folks. That's the hope. That's the, when the, you know, black and white people converge. In the same interest when it comes to soul food or Southern cooking. So, but every, you know, you could, okay, so like if you go into a black kitchen and it's not Lowry seasoning salt in that kitchen, that means somebody did not learn how to cook.
Somebody wasn't raised right.
They weren't raised right. They weren't raised right, or they're fucking millennial. Sorry, I know.
Oh, are you trying to kill this program?
No.
We have millennial members of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
I know, but my point being, somebody didn't, and I think a lot of the people that did not get raised right are people. Never mind, let me shut up. But there are people who were not raised right. We can agree on that because, like my son, there is Lowry's because he's got Alex has his own. Well, he has a roommate up in Oregon, and there is Lowry's in his kitchen cabinet. My two youngest siblings, there is Lowry's in their kitchen cabinet. Anybody, okay, let's just say that all the black people in my family that I know that I have actual dealings with, there will always be Lowry's in the kitchen cabinet. There will never be, like you said, the Kroger, which is still good. It's not Lowry's, but it's still good. Like during the pandemic, when you couldn't find shit in the store, your girl managed to procure a tub. Wait for it, sis. A tub of Lowry seasoning salt.
A tub?
I'll go without a lot of shit, but I'm not going to. I am not. There's a certain things I'm not going to go without. I'm not going to go without Lowry seasoning salt. If I must use mayonnaise, it will only be Best Foods mayonnaise. If I'm gonna have ketchup, it will only be Heinz ketchup.
That's only because you haven't had Red Gold.
Okay. While I'm in Los Angeles, at the grocery store here in my little corner of the world, there will only be Heinz ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things. Mustard, I will do. I'm not a big carrot. I like mustard, but it's not like I don't care. I will use store brand mustard.
Oh no! No, plain yellow mustard, please.
Unless it's brown mustard, then all you go whatever it's called. Okay.
Uh-huh. I mean, a Creole coarse grain mustard is good. A German sweet hot mustard is everything. And then, I never know how to pronounce the French name. Maille, the original Dijon. Maya.
If you can't pronounce it, if you can't pronounce it, who are you trying to ask? They'll put that shit in Google.
That's just the be all and end all of mustards. By the way, I got a note from Billable Rick.
Am I in trouble?
The Kirsten Sinema who paid her off not to run in 2024 $15 challenge. Based on the behavior and voting record of Kirsten Curtsey and Sinema while she was in the Senate, we all know that the only thing that motivates her is the almighty buck. So I must conclude that the only reason that she chose not to run for re-election as an independent and to prevent Democrat Ruben Gallego from defeating Republican Kerry Lake is that some person or entity wrote a very large money check to her so that she wouldn't be a spoiler in that race. So I'll pledge $15 to be applied to any extant challenge. So $15 has just gone to Ralph's Goodbye Kirsten Sinema challenge. That means there's 10 more to finish it. And if it's finished, Billable's going to add another $15 for a total of 30. I'll even add an extra bonus of 30 for a total of 60. If you or some member of the Crack Horn Research Team, not to be confused with Trump administration members who were continuously kept high for 4 years by Dr. Feelgood Ronnie the Candyman Jackson, can identify the person or entity who wrote that very large money check to Senator Sinema. Note, this challenge will be carried over tomorrow if necessary. So, who wrote her the money check? Who showed her the money?
Who got Steve Garvey to run for Senate? Can we ask that question too?
Well, that's not part of the challenge. This is who paid off Kirsten Sinema.
No. But who got a Republican, as you know, to run in a state where he had no chance of winning, when he had not even entered the race in the first place?
Trump.
You know, so that's why.
Trump.
Oh God.
He is maggot endorsed, is he not?
Yes, he is.
Oh, how sweet. Billable Rick adds the Tam O'Shanter restaurant. My first date with Ginger was at the Tam O'Shanter in the Los Feliz neighborhood of L.A. We split a turkey dinner and had chocolate lava cake for dessert. I remember seeing a lot of Disney memorabilia there and even found the coat of arms for my ancestral Scottish-Irish clan, the Gordons, hanging on a wall of that restaurant. It was a very enjoyable experience, which we followed up with a night of karaoke at the Hilo Bar located just across the street. You know, if we ever do have another horn in, we've got to have karaoke. That sounds fun. Sounds tasty, as a matter of fact. But you've had a long day. And are you slowly winding your way back home over the mean streets of L.A. to the far reaches of Encino in the valley?
I am actually home. My grocery delivery is here. No, thank you. You too, sweetheart. And now I am about to go. I am tired, and I'm about to go sit down. And I love you guys. Please make those challenges for my girl. And again, happy election day, and I just keep my fingers crossed that everything is going to be all right.
That's all you can do at this point.
That's all you can do. Thank you.
I hope In-N-Out Burger is enjoyed all around. Did you not get you one?
I didn't want one. Stop it, Kaylee.
Okay,
did not want one.
All right, Tracy, you have a good night, dear.
I love you guys. It's your baby. Talk to you soon.
Bye. Well, Tracy's been walking the walk as well as talking the talk, getting out there and canvassing, being part of the process. I'm proud of her. So the lines are open if you want to jump into the conversation in these remaining 25 minutes or so of the program. Any theories on who wrote the great big money check to Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema? That would be somebody who cares. Who might be a Democrat and have that kind of scratch? I don't know. Who would, is there anybody who would think that Carrie Lake couldn't beat Kirsten Sinema, but she can beat Ruben Gallego? Oh, politics does make strange bedfellows. Hey, there's some good news for a change out of, well, not Florida, but about Florida. Mirabile dictu, a three-judge panel of the United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit entered an order yesterday that Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up Go-Go Boots DeKlantis' signature legislative achievement, the Stop Woke Act, is unconstitutional AF. Now, that's saying something because, again, let me reiterate, the 11th United States Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, which is the wackiest or second wackiest, most maggoty circuit in the entire United States. It's either them or the fifth in New Orleans. And not only did they say that the Stop Woke Act is unconstitutional, they went ahead and said it exceeds the bounds of the First Amendment right to freedom of speech and expression. They weren't mincing any words. By limiting its restrictions, and remember, these judges are maggots. By limiting its restrictions to a list of ideas designated as offensive, the act targets speech based on its content. And by barring only speech that endorses any of those ideas, it penalizes certain viewpoints, the greatest First Amendment sin. That was written by Judge Britt C. Grant, whom we will now look up, B-R-I-T-T. See, yep. And she is a Trump appointee and a former congressional staffer for a former congressional Congress critter, Nathan Deal. And she had various jobs inside the George W. Bush administration. She was managing editor of the Stanford Journal of International Law. She clerked for Beer Boof and Brat when he was on the Court of Appeals in D.C. She's married to a former CIA guy. They have three kids. And she, a maggot appointee and certified, most likely, member of the Federalist Society, dropped a rock on Monkey Up. Because, and what had happened is Florida-based companies sued the state. Among them, honeyfund.com, that's a wedding registry website headquartered in Clearwater, Florida. said that the Stop Woke Act prevented them from having an employee seminar about the advancement of women in business and institutional racism. And then a sub-franchise of Ben and Jerry's called Primo, that has stores in Clearwater and Tampa, said they would be prevented from teaching employees about systemic racism, oppression, and intersectionality, which is true, because that was the point. Now, monkey ups grifters cannot open their mouths without just violating every aspect of truth or reality. So they trotted out a spokes creep for Monkey Up named Julia Friedland. I don't know where Catherine Pashaw is, but Julia Friedland, spokes creep for Duplantis, said, we're reviewing all options on appeal going forward. Well, the options on appeal going forward are from the 11th Circuit, where if a bunch of maggots said it's unconstitutional, well, the maggots in D.C. are not likely to disagree. And she said, we disagree with the court's opinion that employers can require employees to be taught as a condition of employment that one race is morally superior to another race. The First Amendment protects no such thing, and the state of Florida should have every right to protect Floridians from racially hostile workplaces. Of course, the Stop Woke Act does exactly the opposite of all of that, because it says you can't talk about racial inequality, you can't talk about oppression, you can't talk about sex-based discrimination, because it might make the majority class feel bad. So, Monkey Up has come back from his adventure running for president and gotten smacked right in the chops by the 11th Circuit, which is wild. I mean, the 11th Circuit and the 5th Circuit do everything just short of beginning every session with the horse vessel lead. And just a by-the-by, opinion of the court, Judge Britt wrote for the majority, Wilson, Grant, and Brasher, I'm sorry, Britt, Grant, and I'm just scrolling through to see if there's a dissent. Opinion of the court, opinion of the court, opinion of the court. And yeah, it's unanimous. So Monkey Up lost 3-0. And in conclusion, they said, because the plaintiffs have shown a likelihood of success on the merits, the remaining requirements necessarily follow. Plaintiffs suffer an irreparable injury because there is an ongoing violation of the First Amendment. Such a violation, even for a minimal period of time, constitutes irreparable injury. And because of the injury here is direct rather than incidental, the remedy required is an injunction. Finally, this injury, and this is a judicial slap in the face. This injury is not outweighed by any threatened harm to Florida because the government has no legitimate interest in enforcing an unconstitutional law. Ouch. And to think they gave a law degree to Monkey Up. Similarly, a preliminary injunction is not contrary to the public interest because it is in the public interest to protect the First Amendment rights. The plaintiffs thus satisfy all the requirements for the preliminary injunction. We affirm the district court's order preliminarily enjoining the operation of that provision. So what other options does Monkey Up has? Well, have he can ask for an we've been talking a lot about these things lately, haven't we? He can ask for an en banc hearing by the full 11th Circuit, but given that it's a 3-0 unanimous ruling, that's probably going nowhere. And so the next stop is D.C., and does he just want to give up on his precious little law, or does he want to get slapped again? Because I'm guessing there are at least five votes to strike this thing down in D.C. The three good justices, probably the handmaid, and since she worked for him, maybe even beer boofing brat Kavanaugh. Now, no doubt Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas would be all for it, and so would Sammy Bad Breath. And would you like some more butter and bacon on your toast, fellas? And but this points to another and, well, different problem, and that is that the maggot legislature of Florida in March of 2022. Passed this thing as a bill, which Monkey Up then signed into law and went all over the country braying about it. But they were told at the time that this was unconstitutional, and frankly, they didn't care. And that points up, a bit more of a subtle difference in how one approaches an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that is, if you are told over and over and over again that what you are about to do or are in the process of doing is unconstitutional AF, and you do it anyway, how are you honoring your oath? Well, the short answer is, you're not. But the problem is, it comes with a lawyer bill. A really, really big lawyer bill. And so, whatever the state budget is of Florida, whatever Monkey Up's budget is for the office of the governor, a whopping big chunk of it has just gone swirling down the toilet defending the indefensible. And, you know, the same thing for the stupid statute being considered in Missouri Stan right now. The same with most of these maggot wet dream statutes. But they think that maybe they've got the bit in their teeth and that they've got a fighting chance up with our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. Oh, and this, from this past Sunday, Kristen Welker, I'm not impressed. Yeah, you're right, Lou and PA. Thomas would uphold it, but he can't. He can't create a majority of four. I don't think even Roberts would vote for this. It could actually be a 6-3 decision. Because the three, you know, the three dude bros, of course. Because the queers! Now, Kristen Welker is not turning out to be just star-spangled awesome in her role over at Meet the Prestitutes on Sundays. She, this past Sunday, talked about the charges against Nitwit Nero, especially, you know, the Jack Smith, the special prosecutor prosecutions, special counsel prosecutions. And so, well, she said this.
Mr. Trump's claim that he's immune from criminal prosecution for allegedly trying to overturn the 2020 election.
Allegedly. A lot of people heard that and said, what? Because this is following the diktat of the legal department so far as to render it meaningless. This isn't alleged. People have pled guilty agreeing that he did. There have been findings made in federal court that he did. It won't serve as res judicata in his own trial. But people were having no part of it. The thing is, it is objectively true that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. But one, Melanie Darigo, executive director of the Campaign for New York Health and a former candidate for Congress, said, it's like saying Kristen Welker allegedly says that Trump allegedly tried to overturn the 2020 election while we all watch it on TV in real time. But this is your multimillionaire for-profit media in action. If they can't find some way to both side it, they'll allegedly it. Ugh, she's awful. Then there was 60 Minutes where Scott Pelley had a chat with the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Woof. Now, this is not the one who was caught engaging in high-T lesbicious behavior. But Scott Pelley, he actually, unlike Kristen Welker, did a rather decent job. It's a lot better, Roxanne, if you unmute. There we go. Someday I'll have a producer.
We love teachers. My children have had the best teachers. I've had the greatest teachers that have influenced and impacted me. But there are rogue teachers in America's classrooms right now.
Rogue teachers.
Rogue teachers.
Parents Correct. Send their children to school to be educated, not indoctrinated into ideology.
What ideology are they being indoctrinated into?
Let's just say.
Any answer that begins with let's just say is not going to be an answer. But no, Bridget Ziegler was nowhere to be found, and she's also a co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Oh, well.
Children in America cannot read.
They often dodged questions with talking points.
Ow.
You're being evasive.
21% of ideology? Hispanic students are reading.
You're
on
being
grade
evasive.
Level.
What ideology are the children being indoctrinated into? What is your fear?
I think parents' fears are realized. They're looking at these books where sexual discussions are happening with their children at younger and younger ages.
Tiffany Justice read from sexually explicit books written for older teens.
Yeah, right.
But found in a few lower schools. Most people wouldn't want them in a lower school. But in a tactic of outrage politics, Moms for Liberty takes a kernel of truth and concludes these examples are not rare mistakes, but a plot to sexualize children.
And then Moms for Liberty co-founder Tina Deskovich has called parental rights the number one domestic issue for the 2024 election. Yeah, no. I guarantee you she had the same books in her hands that the church ladies had in theirs back around January the 24th of 2024, well, it's gone now. You remember the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christian lady who said pussy nine times on the floor of the House of Delegates of the state of West Virginia. Yeah, that. Oh, there it is. Wait. We are not as bereft as I thought. What a great way to end the program, because I know everybody loves this.
You want to play with pussy all the time. To hide that kind of pussy is a crime. You say you're pussy, clever, and so slick. But I think that your butthole is kind of sick. I want to see your pussy, show it to me.
Sorry. It's just a good way to end the program. Because these are Christians, y'all! Oh, wait, that's tomorrow. That's prayer meeting Wednesday. So, we will knock off. It's been this one flew by. That's two in a row. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa, along the way, said, going all the way back to our discussion of how was Mike Pencilneck Geek dressed and he had it coming to him and Mother Pence not straight? What the hell is Cheese Bro talking about? Michael Richard Pence is the straightest man living in Merca today. His favorite song is Heterosexual Healing by Marvin Straight. I was not going to let that one go by without... No. Yes, yes, Brother Deacon. Wait! Asa says, Meatball Ron was cucked by his own team? Kinda, yeah. So, by the way, if anybody's got $10 laying around, we can meet Ralph's challenge. And on the way out the door, Billable Rick has already knocked down $15 of that, and he's going to add 15 more. And that way we're not a goose egg this evening. So, yeah, a couple of minutes left. Whatever. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors, our challenge makers, the respondents there, too. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in Oregon. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you take it. It really does help the visibility of the program. Leave a comment and leave a comment or even a review and, well, make Brother Deacon Asa's day. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia at a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, at least before the next one comes out. Get your flu shot. It's not going to, I mean, at least, you know, here where East Coast, it's not going to stay warm like this. We're not done yet. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance best you can. As Paul from Parts Unknown suggested in his last call some time ago. That's a hint, Paul. And for God's sakes, if Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema comes towards you in her Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again cosplay outfit, babbling something about both sides, well, avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.